If I were to ask you what a blue law is, most of you would be able to tell me. Blue laws also are known as Sunday laws. These laws prohibit certain activities on Sunday for religious reasons to observe a day of worship or rest. While blue laws may seem unconstitutional because they are based on religion, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled them constitutional. This is because blue laws secure a day of rest for certain workers and guarantee the free exercise of religion. In virtually all states, most of these laws have been repealed. But at least one blue law still is on the books in 13 states. This law prohibits the sale of cars on Sunday. And this is the law in Colorado. You cannot legally buy or sell a car on Sunday here in Colorado. So why should we care about Sunday laws? Our text for this morning will help answer this question. Turn with me to Genesis 2, 1 through 3. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. God has been busy. First, he created the heavens and the earth, but darkness covered everything. Then God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He separated the light from the darkness. Day one. God spoke again. He said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. He called this space sky. Day two. Once again, God spoke. He had the waters on the earth flow together, separating the seas from land. Then God created seed-bearing plants and trees. Day three. Next, God spoke the sun, moon, and stars into existence. He set these lights in the sky. This was to mark seasons, days, and years, basically the passing of time. Day four. Then God filled the waters with fish and other creatures. He filled the skies with all kinds of birds. Day five. Again God spoke, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal." And that is what happened. Finally, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in the image of us. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Day six. Whew. At the beginning, nothing. At the end of day six, the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. So God took a Sabbath. Sabbath is the Hebrew word for repose or for cessation from exertion. Another word for this is rest. God was not exhausted. He didn't need to stop what he was doing to replenish his strength. He stopped because he had finished his work. On the seventh day, God took a Sabbath. Now we jump forward in time. It is many years later. God has chosen a people to be his people. God has used Moses to lead them out of Egypt, where they had been slaves. But they are not happy. They complain about Moses and Aaron. They accuse these men of bringing them into the wilderness to starve to death. God gives them food. Moses tells them to collect enough of the food each day to feed their families. He tells them not to gather more than they need for one day. But on day six, Moses tells the Israelites to collect enough food for 2 days. This is the reason. He told them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath day set apart for the Lord. So bake or boil as much as you want today and set aside what is left for tomorrow." Exodus 16:23. The Lord commands that the seventh day is to be a Sabbath day, a day of complete rest, during which God's people are to refrain from any work. He gives two reasons. The first reason is that his people should rest. Unlike God, who never needs to rest, we do need rest. And from the beginning, God made room for rest. Remember that on day four of creation, God spoke into existence lights to mark the passing of time. The creation account separates what happens each day with the phrase, "And it was evening, and it was morning." The days of light are separated by periods of darkness. As part of his creation, God built into each day a period of time when man would stop working. This is the time for us to rest from our day's work. When darkness comes, man stops working. He rests. Every day when daylight fades, we are given a mini-Sabbath, a time when we cease from exertion. But God knows that as good as this time of rest is after the fading of light each day, it's not enough. Every week, we need a full day of complete rest. So he commanded that the seventh day of each week be a Sabbath day. Jesus was fully aware of his disciples' need for rest. Listen to what Mark says. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told him all they had done and taught. Then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Mark 6:30-32. Mark might as well be describing the hectic pace any one of us has been caught up in here in the 21st century. There are a number of benefits of rest. Here are some of them. Rest reduces stress and anxiety. Rest improves your mood and prevents depression. Rest decreases blood pressure. Rest relieves chronic pain. Rest sharpens brain function. Rest improves your memory. And rest replenishes your body's energy. Earlier, I said that God commands that the seventh day is to be a Sabbath day for two reasons. The first reason is that his people should rest. The second reason is that we are to remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. This is part of commandment number 4 of the Ten Commandments. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. The first reason to observe Sabbath is for our benefit. This is for us to stop work so we can rest. The second reason to observe Sabbath is to remember God and his purpose for us. This is what the Lord tells Ezekiel. I gave them my Sabbath days of rest as a sign between them and me. It was to remind them that I am the Lord who had set them apart to be holy. Ezekiel 20:12. Yes, we are to rest. But more importantly, we are to remember. First, we are to remember who God is. And we are to remember that God has set us apart to be holy. First, let's talk about the Israelites. God had chosen the Israelites to be his people. As such, the regulations he gave them were to show that his people were not like the people who lived around them. They were to be different. They were to be separate and distinct from other people. Isn't that what God expects of us? Listen to the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthian church. Don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? And what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 17. As with the Israelites, so too with us. God has chosen us to be His people. We are to be different. We are to be separate and distinct from other people. Isaiah makes it clear that the Sabbath isn't meant to be a day for God's people to go off and do their own thing. This is what Isaiah says. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Isaiah 58:13. God instructs Moses to tell the people of Israel that the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Exodus 31:15. Earlier I spoke of our need for rest and that the Sabbath gives us the opportunity to rest. But the need to recharge our energy is not the only reason to cease from working on the Sabbath. Just about anywhere Scripture mentions the observance of the Sabbath, refraining from work is part of the commandment. Stopping work is something to be taken seriously, so seriously that God instructs Moses, anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. Exodus 31:15. When Nehemiah was supervising the rebuilding of the walls and gates of Jerusalem, he became very angry when he saw men working on the Sabbath. In those days I saw men of Judah treading out their wine presses on the Sabbath. They were also bringing in grain, loading it on donkeys, and bringing their wine, grapes, figs, and all sorts of produce to Jerusalem to sell on the Sabbath. So I rebuked them for selling their produce on that day. Some men from Tyre who lived in Jerusalem were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise. They were selling it on the Sabbath to the people of Judah and in Jerusalem at that. So I confronted the nobles of Judah. Why are you profaning the Sabbath in this evil way? I asked. Wasn't it just this sort of thing that your ancestors did that caused our God to bring all this trouble upon us and our city? Now, you are bringing even more wrath upon Israel by permitting the Sabbath to be desecrated in this way. Then I commanded that the gates of Jerusalem should be shut as darkness fell every Friday evening, not to be opened until the Sabbath ended. Nehemiah 13:15-19. Nehemiah gets very upset when he sees God's people going against God's special day, God's commandment to cease from working on the Sabbath. Why? The reason is that the seventh day is not an ordinary day. The seventh day is a special day, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Accordingly, no one is to engage in ordinary activities on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is set apart from the rest of the week as a holy day. It is a day dedicated to the Lord. I would guess that not many of us think of Sabbath, or in our case, Sunday, as a holy day dedicated to the Lord. And there are those who believe that with Jesus ushering in the new covenant, Sabbath keeping is no longer required. But that is a topic for another time. Rather, what does it look like to treat Sabbath as a holy day dedicated to the Lord? It may be helpful to describe a typical Sabbath for observant Jews. Some of the following information about the observance of Sabbath comes from reformjudaism.org/blessings and customs for Shabbat. And some of the information is taken from chapter 3 of the Unbroken Thread, Discovering the Wisdom of Tradition in an Age of Chaos by Sohrab Amari. The Jewish Sabbath begins at sundown on Friday and ends at sundown on Saturday. Jewish law requires that all menial tasks are to be completed before sundown on Friday. So the water should already be heated, the oven should be turned on, the chicken soup and the Cornish hen should be cooked. Then the family comes together in the dining room to bless and light the candles. It is Jewish custom to light at least two candles, representing the two passages in the Torah in which we are commanded to keep Shabbat. The first occurs in Exodus 28, which states, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy," and the second in Deuteronomy 5:12, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy." Once the candles are lit, a blessing is said over any children who are present, as well as over the wine. Next, thanks is offered for the food that has been prepared. The family then enjoys a leisurely meal together. Shabbat is welcomed with hymns, prayers, and psalms called Kabbalat Shabbat. On Saturday morning, there is the main service of the week, with readings from the Torah and the Nevim. The afternoon service on Saturday includes a reading from the Torah as well as prayers. Then some people may take a nap. Some may take a walk. Some families have high tea. Some people read. But any reading is confined to Hebrew scriptures and religious texts. Many families end the day by attending synagogue in the evening. So, what can we learn from Jewish Sabbath keeping tradition? Firstly, Sabbath is observed in community. This community, at minimum, is the family. It may include others as well. Sabbath is not observed in isolation, but with people we love. Secondly, there is no hurry during the Sabbath. Time slows. There are no appointments, no deadlines to meet. The pace is leisurely. Thirdly, focus shifts from the ordinary and the mundane to the spiritual and the divine. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel said that the task of the believer is to restore the world to the kingship of the Lord. Let me repeat that. The task of the believer is to restore the world to the kingship of the Lord. I believe that when we treat Sabbath or Sunday as a holy day dedicated to the Lord, we are in some small way restoring the world to the kingship of the Lord. I began this message by talking about blue laws or Sunday laws. And I said that in virtually all states, most of these laws have been repealed. I end this message with the following question. Has the Lord repealed the fourth commandment to remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy? May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace.